2023 college football season is quickly approaching. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast, a part of VSN Collegiate Network. I'm Kelly Ford of thelines.com. With me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, we did Power 5 conference previews last week. We're gonna get into some Group of Fives tonight. How you doing this week?
Feeling great, brother. Like you said, another week closer to college football. Going to dive into the Group of Five schools tonight. Maybe some of the ones that don't get quite the love and attention that some of the other school, the Power 5 schools get. But still a lot of good football to be played there this season. A lot of good talented teams. And looking forward to diving into it with you a little bit further.
King, you said maybe the Group of Five doesn't necessarily get the same attention that some of the Power Fives do. I think that's true. I think we see that nationally. We do pride ourselves on being a national college football podcast. That in tonight's episode is going to be just that, just Group of Five. With that being said, though, Zach, let our listeners in on a little preview of the season. We have decided to revamp a little bit how we're going to be doing the weekly in-season episodes. Maybe not as strict as just following the ESPN Pick'em games. However, we are committed to continuing to highlight big Group of Five matchups or big Group of Five teams as it merits throughout the season. Just maybe not picking the same number as we have in the past as we're just reevaluating it. But there's some good Group of Fives this year, King.
No doubt about it. And I think that this is a very interesting and we have a unique year for the Group of Five considering all the conference realignment. You look at some of these schools that have been the top dogs in the Group of Five these last few years, making the jump to the Power Five. You got the UCF. You get some of these other schools going to the Big 12. And it's just going to be interesting to see. There's some teams that showed a lot of promise last year that are going to be right towards the top once again this year. But I also think there are some newcomers, maybe not quite the depth that we've had. Maybe we're not going to get quite the national scale that we've had previously. But still a lot of good football, a lot of good storylines. And I think that there's going to be a lot of breakout. Or there's going to be quite a few breakout teams that surprise some people this year.
Yep, without a doubt. And just to remind people off the top, Group of Five, as Zach said, is looking a little bit different this year. Of course, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF leave the American and move up into the Big 12 and the Power Five ranks. BYU, although Independence is not a, quote, Group of Five conference because it's not a conference, oftentimes gets grouped into Group of Five. We'll be looking at those schools tonight, those teams tonight. BYU has transitioned into the Big 12. So we do have a few less G5s this year, Kinger. However, as you mentioned, we are adding Sam Houston State as well as Jacksonville State into the FBS this year as they transition from FCS. Some of the best teams, though, King, for me, reside in the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. Looks very different. As I mentioned, some teams left, got new teams in. Let's start there, King. Who's your favorite in the American Athletic Conference this year?
No doubt. And I just want to say, I don't care if there's judgment on this at all. It's going to take me a while to get used to this full conference realignment, man. When I was looking through everything tonight, looking at the schedules this year, it's definitely different. It's not the college football we used to. We got to adapt to the change. But me naming all the teams in every conference for a while, it's definitely going to give me a few weeks, take me a few weeks to get to that point. But for the winner of the American, I am going to take Tulane. This is a very good football team. Excellent season last year. Two wins in 2021, 12 in 2022. Topping it off with that big Cotton Bowl win over USC. They bring back quarterback Michael Pratt for a fourth season. He's a good player. 27 touchdowns last year, another 10 on the ground. Really brings some versatility to that offense. Completion percentage a little low. Hoping they get a little bit more consistency. But this has been one of the best quarterbacks in the conference, playing behind a very good offensive line with a first-team all-conference center. The offense should be in position to win them a lot of games this year. The one thing to look at on the offensive side that maybe could be something to keep an eye on for production, no Tyjae Spears. He was a running back last year, over 1,500 yards. That's a lot of production. That was their workhorse. That's where their identity or offense was. Looking to see how Tulane adapts this year without having him in the backfield. Defensive unit was solid again, or was solid last year, lost their top five tacklers, but this is still going to be a good unit. I got high expectations coming off a huge 2021. Willie Fritz once again has a talented team. They host Ole Miss and at UTSA. I'm sure we'll talk about that one a lot more, Kelly. Last week of the season, that's the game to watch. Tulane should have a lot of success once again this year in the American.
Yeah, King, I'm going to agree with you that my favorite in the American is Tulane. However, it's interesting, Tulane actually does not have the greatest projected average conference wins by my preseason numbers as it currently stands. I actually have SMU at 6.1 average conference wins, play an 8-game schedule in the American. I have Tulane at 6.0. So it's very, very close. SMU has a 51% chance to reach the conference championship game, Tulane a 48. The difference for me, King, I have Tulane power rated number 44, SMU's power rated 52. The difference is that in-conference schedule. It's a little bit easier for SMU. That's why I project just that 0.1 more conference wins. But if those two teams make it to the conference championship game, my numbers at this point are going to favor Tulane. So I'm going with you, King. I'm saying Tulane. They are the most talented team in this conference. They're coming off of what was a phenomenal year. You mentioned it. They finished last year, for me, power rated number 25. I know Tulane fans don't think that's good enough. I know they wanted to see them up higher. I did have them higher than 25th in my most deserving rankings, King. I can't remember exactly where, but they were up in the top 15 by the end of the year post-bowl season. From a power rating standpoint, this was still a top 25 team. That's really, really good for a Tulane team who, prior to that, King, in the last decade, the highest they had gotten was 49th in the 2020 COVID-disrupted season. So, again, one of their best years in a very long time, 44th coming into this year. There's only one game, King, on Tulane's schedule in which I currently have the Green Wave as an underdog. That's week two. They play Ole Miss. Ole Miss is coming to Tulane. Very, very exciting game.
That's going
to
be a good one. Very much
so. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. 5.5 points. That's what my current spread is. Other than that, King, I've got Tulane favored in every other game. Now, there are three games in which I have Tulane as a touchdown or less favorite. That would be at Memphis. We're coming off a bye in week 7 at Memphis. We've got at Florida Atlantic in week 12, favored by about 6. And then a game you mentioned, home to UTSA by about 6.5 in the final game of the regular season.
Home?
I've got Tulane at home against UTSA.
You're probably right. I misread that. I thought that was at UTSA.
Either way, it's still going to be one of the better games by my numbers, with UTSA being, you know, right now for me, projected to finish with the fourth most conference wins, really tied for third with Memphis. Those are the two teams, Memphis, UTSA, who are chomping at the bit if SMU or Tulane were to stumble, by my numbers. All right, King, so we're both on Tulane to win the American. Let's hear, who's another team you want to highlight from this conference this year?
Yeah, I think the no-brainer for me here is it has to be UTSA. I think this is one of the most interesting storylines in the American this year. Looking at UTSA, everybody knows the success that they've had coming back off back-to-back Conference USA championships. They're looking to compete for their third straight conference title this time in the American. But this is probably one of the best teams suited to challenge Tulane this year, led by QB Frank Harris. People have heard me talk about him quite a bit in the past. This is a fifth-year guy, 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns last year. He leads an offense that brings back 10 starters. Offense will look a little bit different this year. Will Stein, their former offensive coordinator, left to be the OC and QB coach at Oregon, replaced by Justin Burke, who is the tight end and associate head coach there. But there's still a ton of potential for success here. Harris is loaded. Harris is a great QB. They're loaded at wide receiver, all-conference talent. This is going to be another very good team. At Houston, at Tennessee, at Temple, all very difficult road teams or road games for UTSA this year, but I am looking forward to watching them. I think this is going to be, again, a good football team.
King, I alluded to mine. I've got UTSA, like I said, power rated 59th coming in this year. That's third best in the American. They're right there with Memphis. Memphis is 60. Each of those teams have a 32% chance to make the American championship game by my numbers. I mentioned my other one, though, is SMU. They have the highest probability to make the conference championship game by my numbers at 51%, highlighted by an offense, King, that I expect to be top 25 quality. Now, the defense, on the other hand, is looking right around 100 for me on a defensive unit national rank. So that's not great. But this offense, King, being the best in the conference, top 25 nationally. King, here's the kicker for me. If we look at SMU's schedule, they play the 120th most difficult collection of opposing FBS defenses. Put another way, they play one of the top 15 easiest collections of opposing FBS defenses. Pair that with the fact that this offense is going to be phenomenal, at least according to my projections. I think SMU just might outscore everyone they're playing, King. Even if this defense isn't great this year, even if they do struggle to stop the opponents, I think the offense is going to put up enough points to win. There's only three games all year where I have SMU as an underdog. Twice they're, I'd say, significant. That would be road trips in the non-conference to Oklahoma in week 2 and to TCU in week 4. So it's more likely than not SMU is going to start the year 2-2. After that, though, King, only one other game on the schedule do I have SMU as a projected underdog, currently by 1 point in week 12 at Memphis. That's really a toss-up game. That's why I think in conference play, there's no one other than Memphis who my numbers suggest SMU is going to be an underdog against. That's why I think SMU is going to get to the championship game. If they do get there and they are facing Tulane, I do think Tulane will be favored in that game, as I mentioned. However, that's so far down the road. Numbers could have shifted by then. SMU, to me, is definitely the other team to watch in the American this year, King. Conference USA, King. This is a conference. You said it's going to take you a little bit to get used to the new membership and all the different conferences. Conference USA was pretty gutted. A lot of these former members are now in the American, the conference we just talked about. This conference has added Jacksonville State and Sam Houston from the FCS ranks. But for this year, King, we've got seven teams that are eligible for the conference championship game. Who is your favorite in Conference USA?
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth there a little bit. I don't see a whole lot of firepower coming out of this conference this year. As you mentioned, the big dogs have jumped ship. So looking at this, I think Western Kentucky here is going to be my pick. You look at head coach Tyson Helton. This guy's is a name that's been thrown around pretty consistently the last few years in the coaching carousel. Has not been hired yet for a Power 5 job, but he really has done a good job for the Hilltoppers down there. They're going to get quality quarterback play from Austin Reed. This guy led the nation in passing yards last year. Him and Malachi Corley make an elite wide receiver QB combination. This is consistently one of the most high-powered offenses in the country, and I think, once again, you can expect them to be right up there at the top of that list this season as well. So the defense, as with a lot of these teams, the defense here is a little bit of a concern. Only four starters returning. They lost a lot of their big guys in the D-line. Defense was top five in just about all major categories last year in the conference. How good this unit is and what kind of steps they take this year is really going to determine the outcome of their season. At Ohio State, it's be tough, but I think this is a favorable schedule. I could see Western Kentucky finding a way to get up there to nine wins this year if they can take advantage of some of these other opponents, in which, again, as we'll be looking at this schedule. So they're going to be my pick this year, Kelly.
Yeah, King, to me, this is a very clear-cut two-horse race. Again, there's only seven teams eligible for the conference championship this year. Very clear-cut top two. I'll get to the second team in a second. For me, number one, as you said, it is Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's power rated number 73 for me. That's number one in this conference. King, they have a 76% chance to reach the conference championship game by my numbers. That's the second highest percent chance of any team to reach their respective conference championship game, behind only Georgia, who I have at 90% to win the SEC East. So Western Kentucky, yes, they're the best team in the conference. They're playing one of the more difficult schedules in the conference, King, but that's looking at the totality of the schedule, including non-conference games, which they do have a trip to Ohio State in week three. So that's obviously going to kill their strength of schedule, their schedule difficulty when they're playing in Ohio State. Many teams in Conference USA not playing an opponent of that caliber. But if we're looking in the conference, there's not a single game that my numbers are projecting Western Kentucky to be an underdog in. The only other game in which I'm projecting the Hilltoppers to be a dog is the week after Ohio State, week four. They go to Troy. That's about 4.5 points. But for me, King, Western Kentucky, there's not a single game in conference that I favor them by less than a field goal. They are my favorite. I've got a 50% chance to win nine games. I'm taking Western Kentucky. I think they're gonna be the best team to beat in the Conference USA this year. And the team I think can challenge them the most, King, is Liberty. Liberty, for me, King, plays the absolute easiest schedule in the entire country. 133 out of 133. Nobody in FBS football plays an easier schedule than Liberty by my numbers at this stage. Put on top of that, Liberty is projecting to be the second strongest team in this conference, coming in power rated number 88. I've got a 55% chance that Liberty reaches the Conference USA championship game. King, I talked about how SMU plays one of the weaker collection of opposing FBS defenses. No team plays a weaker collection on average of opposing FBS defenses than Liberty, 133 out of 133. King, if you go down their schedule and we look at the best teams they play, the most difficult games that they have are in conference. They have to go to Western. So that's going to be a huge game right there in week nine. Currently 5.5 point underdogs. Western, as I said, power rated number 73. Outside of that, King, their next most difficult opponent is Middle Tennessee, who's power rated number 100. Now, their next closest spread is at Buffalo in the non-conference. Buffalo power rated 102, but because it's on the road, they get a little bit of that bump there. King, this is just a very easy schedule. Liberty, for me, is the other team to watch in this conference. What about you?
I mean, Liberty, I agree with you that I think Liberty is in the position to most likely challenge Western Kentucky for the title there. I think there's still potential holes in the offensive side of the ball with Liberty. I think that's still to be determined, but you can't take away the fact that Jamie Chadwell is a proven winner. He's had a lot of success jumping over from Coastal. I think there is probably going to be some growing pains there, but I'm with you, especially when you talk about that schedule. It's looking like Liberty is in a position where they can be successful this year. And the team I just want to take a look at and highlight in this conference is not even one necessarily that I think is going to challenge for the conference title, but I think you got to take a look at New Mexico State here. Again, you look at this production here from 2021 when we started basically every time New Mexico State was mentioned on our podcast, it turned into some sort of immediate bashing, right? There was no positive light shown on this program at all. But you take a look at last year and things changed. Jerry Kill, former Big Ten guy, as we know, we love our Big Ten guys. He's really got the program going in the right direction. For the first time, they got a solid dual threat QB in Diego Pavia. He emerged the back half of last year. This is a guy to watch in the conference. Offensive line brings back the entire left side, couple good running backs. Defense really quietly last year, 30th nationally. Obviously, that's relative to their competition, but this roster is improved. And I think this is a team that can make some noise in this conference. It's not very strong, as we talked about. I could see them finding a way to get to five wins. And so this is a team that I think should be on everybody's radar this year, at least getting a level of respect that I think they earned after last year in the momentum that they have going with this program.
I'll give it to you, King. Yeah, I like that. New Mexico State here, as I'm looking at it, I currently have New Mexico State favored in 6 of the 13 games they play, King. Them and Hawaii, the two teams playing 13 games this year. So 6 out of 13, I have a 52% chance for this New Mexico State team to go bowling yet again this season. So yeah, I like that as kind of a, they're not going to contend for the conference championship, like you said, but as a chance to get bowling and get this program moving in the right direction. Program.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it moving.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. Moving on, King, to MACtion, one of our favorite conferences every Tuesday, Wednesday in November. Cold in the Midwest. It's snowing. It's raining. It's a fun time. Who we liking in the MAC this year, King? This is one of the few divisions still, King, that is playing, or one of the few conferences that is playing with divisions. We still have the East and the West, as we traditionally have in the MAC for many, many years. Who's your favorite in the MAC, King?
The MAC is a really fun conference, and that's been a discussion and a repeated theme on this podcast is that we are MAC guys. We like MACtion, and I'm going to take the Bobcats this year. You look at
Let's
Curtis
go! Ford, my squad!
Coming, yeah, that's right, Kelly. I knew you'd appreciate that. But he's coming off the ACL injury he suffered late last year. Still not exactly sure if he's going to be a full go week one. I think it's trending that way. I know he's making some progress, but this is a guy who was probably the best QB in the conference last year before he got hurt. Already had thrown for over 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. This is going to be an explosive offense. Offensive line play, maybe a little bit of a question mark on this team, but they got a lot of good playmakers. They got a good QB, and as we know, that can generate a lot of success. But you look at the other side of the ball, and again, this was a topic we talked about last year. Ohio defense, they're bad, real bad last year. 11th in total defense in the conference, dead last against the pass. This was a unit that repeatedly got torched. They try to hit the portal this offseason. They bring back some senior starters. You got to hope there's been some development there, and there should be hopefully some improvement on that side of the ball. I feel like their only way to go there is up. So I think looking at the schedule, they avoid Toledo in the West, who is the favorite over there in the West. And they, unlike Miami of Ohio, who does have to play Toledo, and they get Miami of Ohio at home, who in my opinion is the other favorite in the conference. I think this does set up well for the Bobcats. Miami's going to be a good team. I think they are going to challenge this year, but I'm going to lean Ohio. I'm going to give them the nod this year.
I can get behind that, King. I like that pick. I'm going to go somewhere else here with my favorite in the MAC this year. I'm going to go Toledo, a team you mentioned. If we look at Toledo's schedule, for me, they are the best team in the MAC. I've got them power rated number 69. It's not necessarily that close. Ohio, for me, is number 2 at number 91. So there is somewhat of a gap between Toledo and the rest of the field for me. Of course, Ohio being in the East. The closest competitor for Toledo in the West, King, I have Eastern Michigan at number 104. Again, Toledo at 69. So I'm projecting 5.9 conference wins for Toledo out of an 8-game conference schedule. Eastern Michigan 4.6. That means a 53% chance that Toledo makes it to Detroit to compete in the MAC championship game. So, I mean, right now I'm saying it's more likely than not that they're in that game. Once we're there, we know anything can happen, but my numbers as it stand would favor Toledo over any team from the East. So I'm going Toledo. They're the best team. They got the best offense in the division. They have the best defense in the division. King, there's only one game all year that my numbers have Toledo currently projecting as an underdog. That's the first week of the season. It's at Illinois by about 10.5 points, just around 10 points. I like, King, in week one, the underdogs a little bit more than I do in any other part of the season. I think I've talked about this maybe before. When you have all summer to prepare, granted your opponent does too, but generally speaking, when a team has, the more time a team has to prepare, the more advantageous it is for the underdog. In this case, Toledo, for me, is the underdog. They've had all summer to prepare for this Illinois team. I mean, King, if you look at the schedule after this, Toledo's got Texas Southern coming to town. They got San Jose State coming to town. They get into MAC play then with Western Michigan coming to town. I mean, there's really not a game that they're going to be looking forward to more, I don't think, than Illinois. And it's right off the bat. Illinois is going to have a really good defense. That's going to be troublesome for Toledo. They have to go on the road to do it. But even if they drop that game, King, they're still my favorites. I've got a 10% chance that Toledo wins 11 plus regular season games. So even if they lose that first game, really, really good chance that this team could run the table the rest of the way. Their most difficult projected game after that, King, at Miami in week 8. And what's interesting there, King, a little scheduling dynamic. Week 6, they go to UMass, which is a non-conference game. Week 7, they're at Ball State. Week 8, they go to Miami, a really difficult opponent for them in the MAC. So it's the third straight game, the third of three straight on the road before they then get a bye in week 9. That could be something to watch, but still, even if they lose that one, that's in the East Division. If they run the table in the West, they're going to be in Detroit. So I'm going to take Toledo as my favorite. King, who's the second team you want to highlight in the Mid-American Conference?
Make it real easy here. I had Toledo highlighted again, and it's because I do think this is a pretty good football team here in the MAC. They returned 16 starters this year. Jason Candle, this is a guy that continues to improve his resume as a coach. 6 bowl games in 8 years, a couple of titles now. This is looking to be the first MAC team to repeat as conference champion since 2010-2011. You talked about the offensive defensive side of the ball here. They're very good by conference standards there. I look forward to watching them play that Ohio game in mid-October. So Toledo should be right there again, right once again.
King, the second team I wanted to highlight is the one you picked as your favorite. It's Ohio. So I won't go too in-depth into them since you already did. What I will say, though, while I do have Toledo in a little bit of a projected landslide in the West, the East is much closer. I've got Ohio power rated 91, Miami power rated 94, Buffalo power rated 102. Ohio with a 46% chance to make it to Detroit, Miami 32%, Buffalo 19%. So it's going to be a three-horse race, I think. Now, Ohio does get Miami at home. As you mentioned, that's big. They have to go to Buffalo. That's week 9, home to Miami, a bye week in week 10 as they transition into the Maction games, and then at Buffalo in week 11. So really, that three-week stretch with two games in there, week 9, 10, 11, could define Ohio's season with regard to their chances to make it to the conference championship game. Only 3 games, King, on the schedule that I'm currently have Ohio as underdogs in. None of those are conference games. Week 1 at San Diego State, week 0 at San Diego State. They got a week 0 game at San Diego State, week 2 at Florida Atlantic, and week 3, Kinger, Iowa State Cyclones going to Peden Stadium to play the Ohio Bobcats. And you know what? Iowa State, I really like Matt Campbell. I think he's great. What's going on there off the field with the sports wagering stuff is a little bit of an unknown. I mean, we don't even really know what this Iowa State team is going to look like. Don't sleep on Ohio in that game, King. If we have a hindered Iowa State team coming in there, an Ohio fan base that's pumped up to have a Power 5 coming to town, and they show up, show out, that Iowa State offense is not really anything to write home about. If Ohio's defense, you know, butts up and we get some explosion on the offensive side, which I do project to be the better of the two units, that could be an upset. So keep an eye on Ohio there in the non-conference against Iowa State before they get into conference play, where, again, my numbers have them favored in every single game, the closest one being currently a pick'em at Buffalo in week 11. All right, King, moving on. We got the Mountain West Conference. King, this is a conference that's really come to the forefront recently with the demise, dissolution, whatever you want to say, of the Pac-12, which I know you and I both hate. A couple Pac-12 schools still left. People seem to think, hey, you know what? They're just going to pick from the Mountain West. Well, the Mountain West, with their grant of rights and the exit fees that they have structured in place and just the timing of those, not looking very likely that they're going to be poached and end up in the Pac-12, almost looking more likely, King, that any of those Pac-12 schools left behind might make their way into the Mountain West. So this is definitely a Group of Five conference to keep our eyes on moving forward. Who is your favorite, King, in the Mountain West this year?
A lot of moving parts in the Mountain West, but like the MAC, I would say arguably this is probably my two favorite conferences of football to watch. Group of Five football is the Mountain West. Again, you can't beat these late October, November games out West. Wyoming, it's cold. Boise State, it's just fun football to watch. And speaking of Boise State, they're the favorite. They're the betting favorite in Vegas this year. And I'm going to take Boise State to win the conference. I think they're rightfully the favorite this year. They finished the last season in an 8-2 run in their last 10. Andy Avalos showing some promise here as a head coach. They have a good QB in Talen Green. He's really a good dual threat. He needs to improve a little bit throwing the football, a little bit of accuracy problems thus far. They're trying really hard to develop the passing game this year. But it makes his life a lot easier when you have two stud backs and George Lani. That's a guy who's been mentioned a lot of times in our podcast, as well as Ashton Jaunty. 3 of those guys last year combined for over 2,500 yards on the ground. Defense, that's really what the Boise State Foundation was built off of last year. They do take a little bit of a hit, lost some guys up front, 6 starters total. But there is still a lot of talent here, and I think there is an opportunity this year for the offense to really kind of take the reins and carry this team to get back to that double-digit win mark. I think one thing to point out about this schedule, they do play at Washington week 1. I anticipate that one might get a little bit ugly, but I won't be one to root out or rule out Boise State at that point. I still think there's a lot of potential with this team, so give me the Broncos to get back to the top of the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, King, I'm with you. Boise State, definitely my favorite. If we look at the percent chances to reach the conference championship game here, again, there's a pretty significant gap. I've got Boise State with a 63% chance, and then Fresno State and Air Force, two teams kind of bunched up, 36 and 34% chances, respectively. If you're looking at average conference wins, Boise State at 6.2, almost a full game drop, King, to Fresno State at 5.3, Air Force at 5.2. So I really think this Boise State team has to be considered the favorite. You look at the schedule that they play. They do have to play both Fresno State and Air Force. They have to go on the road to Fresno State. I mean, that could be a tricky one. But if we're looking at the totality of the schedule, King, it's difficult for Mountain West standards. It's not too difficult, I wouldn't say, for Boise State standards. I have this as the best offense in the conference. I have it as a second best defense. And King, they're facing only the 109th most difficult collection of opposing FBS offenses. So I expect this Boise State defense to really be able to claim down this year. If we look at their schedule in totality, three games in which I'm projecting Boise State as underdogs: at Washington in week one. King, actually, I think I tweeted about this. I would have liked to have seen game day go to that game more so than, I think they picked Clemson and North Carolina and South Carolina, which, hey, it's a rivalry game. I can get behind that. It's in a NFL stadium, though, which I don't like. I think after a whole summer of not having college football, 8 months of not having college football, I would have loved to see game day go to a campus site. Washington has one of the best. Boise State, Washington, a good regional rivalry, the Chris Peterson game, if you will. I would have liked to see game day go here. I have Boise State as the underdog in that one. Week two, I have Boise State as an underdog by about 2 points at home to UCF. I think that's a sneaky, sneaky, really good game. And then I have it as a pick'em, a 49% win probability for Boise State at Memphis in week five. So again, all of those non-conference games, Boise State to me is the team to beat. King, who's your second team to highlight in the Mountain West?
So just looking at the Mountain West holistically, you get some of these teams, you know, talking about the quality of talent at the top tier these last couple of years. You look at Air Force, no Hazeek Daniels, no Brad Roberts. You look at Fresno State this year, no Jake Haner. Maybe there isn't quite the talent or the top-tier talent level that we've been fortunate enough to see here in the Mountain West the last couple of years. Again, I still think there's going to be a lot of good football teams here, but the team that I'm taking an eye on is San Diego State. This is a team that's been tough to get a read on the last couple of years. They always show, you know, sound defense. They show potential, but the offense has really been limited. Haven't had an excellent QB play, really a strong running team that when they get stuffed at the line or aren't able to get the run game going, they really struggle. They were 7-6 last year, but they made a midseason QB switch, bringing Jalen Maiden from safety to quarterback. This guy showed a lot of promise. Now with a full offseason, he's a full-time quarterback. I think there is going to be improvement on the offensive side of the ball, and I think there is potential for them to open things up a little bit more. The defense did lose a lot up front, but this is a very good secondary again. This should be top 20 in the country. They were last year. Anticipate them to be right up there again this year. They get both Boise and Fresno State at home this year, two of the biggest competitors there in the Mountain West. I think that could be big for conference play. I think San Diego State's a sneaky team that could be right there at the top once again this year.
San Diego State's interesting for me, King. I've got them. I mentioned Fresno State, Air Force as 2-3. San Diego State sits at number 4 for me. Power rated number 80, 21% chance to make the conference championship game. Agree with you on some of the scheduling aspects that you talked about there. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm going to go, I already alluded to it a little bit. I'm torn here. I'm going to go with Air Force, King, even though I have Fresno State as the team with a slightly better chance to make the conference championship game than Air Force. I'm going to go with the Falcons because of all the Mountain West teams, I'm actually projecting the most regular season wins on average for Air Force at 8.2. That's tied with Boise State, 7.9 for Fresno State. So I think Air Force could end up with the most regular season wins of any Mountain West team. If you look at their schedule, King, it's the fourth easiest in the entire country. They play the easiest collection of opposing FBS offenses, number 133 out of 133. The only team, King, that they play in the top 85 projected opposing offenses is Boise State. That's in the final game of the regular season. They have to go to Boise. I've got Boise State's offense power rated number 72 in the country. 8.5-point underdogs in that game. But, King, that's the only game all year that my numbers have Air Force as a projected underdog. Now, there are two games where they're favored by a field goal or less, and another four games where they're favored between a field goal and a touchdown. But Air Force, to me, is the team that I think might be able to challenge Boise State in a conference championship game if they were to get there. And it could be they're going there in back-to-back weeks, Kings. If they go to Boise State to end the regular season and then Boise State ends up hosting the conference championship game, it could be back-to-back weeks in Boise. It's tough to beat the team twice, King, let alone in consecutive weeks. So they would have the home field advantage in both, but that's something to keep an eye on for sure by my numbers here in the Mountain West. All right, King, our final Group of Five conference to preview is the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt. King, to me, this conference, long-term, I still have the American as the best G5 conference by average team power rating this year here in 2023. But long-term, King, I really like what the Sun Belt Conference is doing. It's very fun at the top of the conference. James Madison still ineligible for postseason play for one more year. Once they're eligible, though, King, it gets even harder in that East Division. If the Sun Belt's going to have divisions moving forward, we don't know that yet or not. But this conference, to me, King, so much fun. If they can get the bottom better, because there's a couple bad teams at the bottom of this conference. If they can get the bottom better, there's no reason the Sun Belt can't be the preeminent Group of Five conference moving forward. Who is your favorite, King, in this conference in 2023?
Yeah, Kelly, I echo everything you said there. And the top of this conference really does have some talent. And this is another Group of Five team that I think is going to win the conference, that I think is right up there with maybe Tulane at the top for one of the best, if not the best, in the Group of Five, and that's South Alabama. This is coming off a 10-3 season last year, trying to build some momentum off this. They got a 36-year-old head coach, Kelly, Kane Womack. He's brought a lot of energy and life to this program. Defense, again, very solid last year. Really good up front in the trenches. Bring back 10 starters, and they got solid players at every level, including a couple potential all-conference safeties. I think there's going to be more improvement on the defensive side of the ball this year again, and they should be one of the best in the Sun Belt. Offense, they bring back quarterback Carter Webb. They're going to focus on trying to get a little bit more going in the passing game this year. They do have a workhorse running back in LaDainian Webb, but this is another good team, another good program right here, and they're going to continue to bring some solid momentum and representation to the Sun Belt.
I like that, King. South Alabama, to me, last year, the third biggest overachiever with regard to my preseason realistic expectations. This team, as you said, won 10 regular season games last year. That was 4.2, King, more games than I projected in the preseason. Third most of anybody in college football in terms of overachieving expectations. So I'm with you. South Alabama, if I'm looking at it, they're not my pick, but I'm just going to keep going off what you said here. If you look at before 2022, King, the prior decade, the best South Alabama was at the end of the year in my power ratings, 2014, they finished 98th. Last year, they were 69th. Coming into this year, they're 68th. I love what's going on at South Alabama. I think they're going to be a very, very good team. Unfortunately for South Alabama, King, they've got who I'm projecting to be the best team in the conference in their division. South Alabama's number two for me at 68. I've got Troy, King, at number 63. Troy, for me, has a 42% chance to reach the conference championship game. South Alabama's at 28. Louisiana, maybe a sleeper in the West, at 21%. But for me, it's Troy. And here's a big reason why, King. That game against South Alabama, it's in week 10. It's at Troy. So Troy's got the home field advantage in what could be the game of the year in the Sun Belt, or at least in the Sun Belt West and in that race. Troy, for me, number one team in the division, like I said, best defense in the division. King, this is a top 35 defense nationally. This is opponent-adjusted defense here. So I think the defense is going to be really, really good. Offense, I have them as the third best in the division. They're mid-80s nationally. So I don't know. It's not great. I mean, I have some concerns there, but I think this defense is going to be able to do enough throughout the year. If I'm looking at their schedule overall, King, only one game all year in which I have Troy as a projected underdog. That's in week two. They go to Kansas State. We saw Tulane go into Kansas State and get a win last year. So the blueprint's there. I'm not predicting it. I've got Troy as about a 15-point underdog. So, I mean, that's a sizable underdog spread there, but they could go do that, win at Kansas State in Manhattan in week two. Other than that, though, King, I've got Troy favored in every other game. Granted, seven games are one score or less in which I'm projecting them to be the favorite. So that's how we get to the average expected wins of 8. A 42% chance to reach the conference championship game with 5.7 conference wins on average, just ahead of South Alabama's 5.2. King, who's the other team you want to highlight in the Sun Belt this year?
It's your squad, Troy, Kelly, and it's funny you mentioned it because I have written down right here, maybe K-State has another Group of Five slip-up week two. It very well could happen. I'm with you. I'm not sure that it will, but we saw that K-State was a little susceptible last year. Could be the case again last year or this year with Troy. I think Troy's going to have to take a little bit of a step on the offensive side of the ball with QB Gunnar Watson returning. Solid, but not great numbers last year. They're really going to need, again, in my opinion, improve on that to take the next step. But this is going to be another good football team this year. This is a program that continues to improve and do well, and they're going to probably make some noise once again.
I talked a little bit about South Alabama, King, as my second team there, but I'm going to mix up a little bit. While I like the Jags and I like Louisiana in the West to be able to challenge Troy a little bit, the East, to me, King, could be one of the more exciting divisions in all of college football with regard to how is this race going to play out. If we just look at it off the top, I actually have James Madison as the highest power-rated team in the Sun Belt East. I have them power-rated number 71. Of course, they are still ineligible for NCAA postseason because of the transition period from FCS to FBS. Therefore, they are ineligible for the Sun Belt Conference Championship game. So if we remove James Madison from the equation here, I've got Marshall power rated 72 with a 27% chance to make the conference championship game. It's actually Coastal Carolina, though, King, for me, power rated 76. That's the third best in their own division with the greatest percent chance to make the conference championship game at only 31%, but I think the schedule's easier for Coastal Carolina. Of course, then you've got App State, power rated number 81 for me, 27% chance. So, King, I've got three teams, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, and App State, all with a 27 to 31% chance to make the conference championship game. I'm going with Coastal Carolina here, though. They do have to go to App State in week 7, and I'm currently projecting the chance as an underdog in that game by about 2 points, but they get Marshall at home 2 weeks later in week 9. I think that could be the difference here. Coastal, the App State game, they're getting off a bye. App State's coming off a bye too, so I expect that to be a really high-quality game in Week 7 in the Sun Belt. But for me, Coastal Carolina, they got the second-best offense in the division. They're going up against only the 119th most difficult collection of opposing FBS defenses. So to me, it's Coastal Carolina. Two games, I'm projecting them to be underdogs. That would be at App State, as I mentioned. And then in week 1, King, Coastal Carolina goes to UCLA, where I currently have the Bruins as about a 14-point favorite. But other than that, I've got Coastal favorite in every other game, five of them projecting as one score. But King, Coastal to me is the other team I want to highlight because they're the favorite for me in the Sun Belt East, although I really, really am looking forward to that race between Coastal, Marshall, and App State. And I wish James Madison was eligible as well. King, we can't get out of the Group of Five conference preview segment without at least mentioning the independents that we have in college football. This year, King, we're down to only four. There's only four independents this year. Notre Dame, who, of course, widely regarded as a Power Five team, Army, UConn, and UMass. So I'll leave it open to you. You can talk about anyone you want out of this group, King. I think I know where you're going to go, but who's a team you want to highlight out of the independents here?
I don't want to do it, but we have to do it, man. And we just have to have the conversation about our Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame is a program that's, to me, going to be one to watch here over these next few years with all the conference realignment. Again, we're not going to dive too far into it, but what they're going to do and what decision they end up making, right? There's benefits to both sides. They have a lot of leverage, especially with this NBC deal, talking about maybe bringing some more Big Ten opponents. But this is going to be a team that's, I think, going to be a pretty typical Notre Dame team. I think they're going to be good, but they're not going to be great. They continue to recruit very well. That's been something that's been pretty standard for them these last few years. QB play, as we know, was a little bit of a disaster last year, a little bit of a shuffling carousel over there. That's not going to be the case this year. They're bringing in Wake Forest transfer Sam Hartman. We are all well aware of the numbers he put up and his ability and what he's been able to do on the offensive side of the ball. Notre Dame is going to be back to having a much better offensive line this year. You look at Joe Alt, that's a potential first-round left tackle. They have talent across the rest of the line. Blake Fisher, another one of your indie kids from right in your backyard. Kelly, that's another solid prospect right there. They did lose Matthew Mayer, but this is an offense that should take a major step this year. And I also wanted to bring this up, Kelly, because I think it's pretty funny. You look, Tommy Rees taking the offensive coordinator position down in Alabama. Notre Dame's new offensive coordinator is Jared Parker. Do you remember that name, Kelly?
Jared Parker? I don't think so.
So Jared Parker was a member of the world-renowned, famous Daryl Hazel staff at Purdue. He actually was our former tight ends coach and was one of our recruiting coordinators. He ended up leaving the program when Hazel got canned. I'm not putting any blame on him, but when I saw that Jared Parker was the new offensive coordinator, it immediately brought back memories of what an absolute dumpster fire that staff was for Purdue. So I'm honestly rooting for the guy to have success here. It sounds like he's a good offensive mind, has had some successful coaching gigs since Purdue. But I think it's funny that it's kind of come full circle that now he's running for one of the rival programs up north there for Notre Dame. So defense on the defensive side for Notre Dame, they took a little bit of a step back last year. I think that could potentially be the case again this year. Lost their best pass rusher in Isaiah Foskey. They've shown they've really not had the big physical bodies on that D line to stop the run. Again, Notre Dame's going to be good, not great. I do think they find a way to get to that 10 wins this season, though, Kelly. I'd be interested to hear what your numbers say on that.
Yeah, you'll forgive me, King, for not remembering someone associated with the Daryl Hazel era at Purdue, which, King...
Block those memories, right?
Right, and by my own numbers, that there is a 4-year stretch in there where it is the worst average K-Ford rating over a 4-year period in Purdue football history, which goes back a very long way. So dark times indeed for Purdue. They have come out of those, of course, last year making the Big Ten championship game, and we'll see how we look moving forward in the post-Brom era. You said 10 wins, King. 31% chance is what my numbers give Notre Dame to get 10-plus regular season wins. This is the team I want to highlight, too, of course, with Army, UConn, and UMass as the alternatives. Notre Dame, for me, King, currently projecting as an underdog in only 2 games. Week 4, they get Ohio State at home, currently projecting Notre Dame as about a 9.5-point underdog there. And then in Week 10, they go to Clemson, where I'm currently projecting them by about a 5.5-point underdog in that game. Week 7 is another really a good game to look at, King. It's USC coming to town. It's USC's first big test of the season. I have that game as a pick'em right now, a 50-50 right on the money. So there's 3 games right there where Notre Dame could reasonably be expected to lose. So if they do, obviously, now you're not getting to the 10-win regular season. The reason you still have a 31% chance, King, is because outside of those games, my numbers like Notre Dame by at least a touchdown in every other game that they play. I've got the Irish power rated number 12 overall, top 30 offense, top 15 defense. So I do expect the defense to be the better unit here, as you mentioned, King. But I think this Notre Dame team is going to be improved on the team that won 8 games last year. I'm projecting 8.7 on average. But I have to mention, King, UMass currently projecting for me 2.8 wins this regular season. That is the fewest of all FBS teams playing this year, King. But it would still be an improvement on last year when the Minutemen won 1 game. I've got an 83% chance that they exceed last year's regular season win total of just 1. So there's my sickos comment on UMass, if you will. King, it's been a good episode. Group of 5, nice, tight. Hit every conference favorite.
Last independent note I want to make, Kelly. Jeff Monken making a big switch up at Army. Army no longer going with the triple option, bringing a shotgun spread. That's the team to my watching independent this year. Can Army efficiently run a new scheme of offense? We will all tune in to find out.
It's a great point, King. And yeah, anytime you have a significant change like that, whether it's roster turnover, change in coaching staff, or just change in philosophy in terms of offensive, defensive scheme, whatever it is, it's going to make it more difficult to project. For me, with Army right now, projecting 6.3 wins on average, favorite in 5 games, underdogs in 7, although 3 of them are a field goal or less. So Army, to me, it'll be interesting. I got a 69% chance for Army to go bowling this year. Looking forward to seeing what they can do in the revamped offense, as you mentioned, King. It will definitely be interesting. But King, that'll do it for our conference preview episodes. Power 5 last week, Group of 5 this week, touched on independence as well in this episode. We're getting ever closer, King, to the college football season. It's going to be here before we know it.
You feel it in the air, man. You feel it in the air. Everybody's ready for it. Everybody's got that excitement level maxed out to the top.
Well, if you ever forget how much time we have, King, I now have the countdown clock on the website, kfordratings.com. It's counting down the seconds until the Notre Dame Navy kick. Now, granted, that's week 0, but to me, that's the return of FBS college football. It's counting down from time of recording, King. We are actually at under 17 days now at this point. So it is coming. It's coming fast, and we certainly cannot wait for it. We'll be back next week with more content, but for now, this has been the We Hate Your Team podcast, a very proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network.